It's Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about the court hearing on President Trump's immigration ban, a conflict between Senators Elizabeth Warren and Mitch McConnell over the Jeff Sessions confirmation, and more in our weekly look at national politics.
First, plans to complete the Dakota Access Pipeline are moving forward. In a court filing yesterday, the U.S. Army said its deputy secretary would grant the final permit needed to finish building the pipeline.
Reports say that the move was immediately supported by Republicans in Congress. It also got strong opposition from the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, which has been front and center in opposition to that pipeline. The tribe has been concerned about the pipeline running so close to its water source and sacred sites.
If completed, the project would carry hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil a day. The pipeline route would originate in North Dakota and carry oil to southern Illinois.
Ernest Scheider joins us now. He's an energy correspondent for Reuters. Ernest, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Let's talk about the significance of this step, this easement being granted. How important is this?
Well, it was crucial to Energy Transfer Partners, which is the company that wants to build the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is the easement that the Obama administration had denied the company last fall. And so basically, the Trump administration is reversing that and allowing them to tunnel underneath the Missouri River and basically connect the two parts of the pipeline that are already constructed.
This, unless there are court challenges, we could talk more about that. This would be, what, the last step? This is the plan can fully go ahead as of now?
Correct, yes. This allows them to move forward if it's issued. So what happened yesterday is technically the U.S. Army said that it was going to, and then this afternoon it should actually do that. So that's more or less a formality. Them saying that they're going to do it is sort of the final piece of paperwork that needs to take place for Energy Transfer Partners to be able to do this. Of course, as you said, there's a lot of legal options in the court system that could still gum things up. But as far as the regulatory framework, Energy Transfer Partners has what it needs now.
So starting tomorrow, how soon could we see construction start on the most controversial parts of this pipeline?
Well, of course, it is North Dakota, and it is quite cold there right now, and a lot of the ground is frozen. So it all depends on how much money Energy Transfer Partners wants to spend on things like, thawing the ground, ground heaters, and other equipment. It shouldn't be that hard to bore through if they decide to go ahead of that. It depends on how cold it gets, though. If the fluid that's used around the tunneling bore heads, if it gets around 20 or 30 degrees negative below Fahrenheit, then it's going to freeze up. So it's very weather dependent, but we are going to start getting into the spring here in about a month or two, and things will start melting.
This change in policy from the Army, from what it had done under President Obama's orders, is this something that's coming directly from, in effect, President Trump's executive order saying, no, you guys go ahead on this?
Well, President Trump's order his recent executive order on pipelines basically instructed federal agencies to speed up its review process here. And so certainly we can certainly infer that there was basically that the Army took away from that its need to sort of approve this. What's most interesting for me is that the environmental impact statement that the Obama administration had said it would conduct on the pipeline, that is something the Standing Rock Sioux want, the Trump administration is now saying they didn't need to do that. And legally, they don't have to do that, but it is a flip-flopping, if you will, from a regulatory body, and the Standing Rock Sioux is quite annoyed that the government, in the chairman's words, when I was speaking with him this morning, basically reversed themselves.
Talking to Ernest Scheider, energy correspondent for Reuters, about the latest key approval for the Dakota Access Pipeline. As of now, the project could go forward, pending some legal challenges. And Ernest, that point you just made about the change from a requirement for this environmental impact statement, now it's not needed. Is that something that is being looked at as a venue for a legal or an opportunity for a legal challenge?
It certainly could be an area there that they were going to pursue. The Standing Rock Sioux, their main contention is that they're not really sure what damage would come from any potential leak from the pipeline, so they need to study this. Basically, slow down is what their chairman is saying and has been saying. Take a look and basically figure out what could happen in a worst-case scenario. And he is getting some help from folks that live downstream of the Missouri River because certainly they would be impacted as well. Legally, though, it's sort of a gray area right now if it's required. The Obama administration said that it thought it would implement it and that it would be required. But the Trump administration is basically just saying, well, there's no statute here, so we're going to reverse it. There is certainly what one could say a legal case for the tribe to pursue with this and related matters. It's still unclear, though, if that will succeed. By and large, though, it's a huge blow to the tribe to have the easement issued that's going to basically take the wind out of their sails when they go before a judge.
Are there other legal grounds that they're looking at? I think you wrote about maybe sovereignty, sovereign land issues being something they might bring up in a legal challenge.
Yes, this has some merit, although it's been very risky and has not been fully tested in the courts yet. The idea that the land that the pipeline will be built on, which of course is not on the current Indian reservation, used to belong to the tribe, and in the 19th century was taken away from the tribe by the United States Congress. So the idea that this was land that was initially owned by the tribe, and thus the tribe has legal right to oppose it because it is sort of a de facto original owner, that has not fully been tested, and certainly I think it would be an issue that a lot of people beyond the Dakota Access Pipeline would like to see addressed by the United States Supreme Court or others. It would have huge ramifications beyond just North Dakota right now, because basically what you have is a tribe saying that we used to own vastly more, much more land than we have now, but that amount of land was taken away from us, so we should be able to control what goes on there. So you could imagine how that would just open up a whole, basically, can of worms as to, you know, what that would mean all across the United States.
A big part of why the Dakota Access Pipeline became such a national story has to do with the protests that have gone on there. Are you expecting to see a lot more protests now that this decision has been, in effect, reversed?
Well, what we're starting to see is protests all around the United States increasing. David Archambault, who is the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux, told me this morning in an interview that he really wants people to go to their state capitals, talk to their congressional representatives, put pressure on them about it. He really is looking at a political front now to open up in a battle against the pipeline. They have asked and are continuing to ask folks not to come to North Dakota, not to come to the Osseti Sakowan camp there near Standing Rock, because of the weather. It's quite cold there right now. Just imagine camping outside. Not a lot of people in Wisconsin camp outside, and not a lot of people in North Dakota camp outside, but these people are there, and I was there at the camp during a blizzard recently, and I can tell you it's not a fun experience. And then you combine that with the coming thaw, expected in the spring, of course, so all this snow melts. And so you've got the camp in a floodplain, and so the danger there is that floodwaters from the Missouri River could basically just pick up all this detritus that's been left behind, including tents, sleeping bags, propane tanks, and basically just carry that all downstream and create its own ecological disaster. So right now the state and tribes and federal officials are working to clean up the camp. So for all of those reasons, the tribe, the Army Corps, Governor Doug Burgum in Bismarck are asking for nobody to come back and for the camp actually to vacate.
And since this decision was handed down, what have we heard from the company behind the pipeline and other supporters?
Well, they're certainly very happy that they can move forward on this. I think it's, they spent a lot of money to basically keep things in limbo, and so they want to move forward on this. The North Dakota congressional delegation, which is comprised of two Republicans and a Democrat, all of them are sort of united in their support of the project and are happy that it can move forward now and sort of have some certainty there. Remember, North Dakota is the second largest oil-producing state in the nation, so they want to be able to get that oil to market. And because if they can't, that really affects the state's tax revenue.
We'll leave it there for now. Ernest, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Great to be with you.
We've been talking to Ernest Scheider, energy correspondent for Reuters. He joined us to talk about the U.S. Army's decision to grant the final permit needed to complete the Dakota Access Pipeline.